We're continuing in a series of shiurim that we're speaking about the topic of simcha. The previous shiur that we had, we gave an introduction to a topic that came from a chapter in Likut Imran. It was the fifth chapter in the first half of Likut Imran. We'll try to summarize it briefly and then go into the Likut Halachos, which will expound on it and clarify tremendously certain very important advice that each and every one of us can use for our own happiness. In that chapter on Likut Imran, Rabbi Nazal spoke about the fact that the Gemara makes a statement that each and every person has to say that the whole world was created just for me. And based on that, I'm responsible for the world. I'm responsible to always analyze and see what's lacking in the world and to see to it, to fill it in, to make up, to fix, to repair, to correct, to improve anything that needs correcting in the world. Ulehispalel bavuram. And he added the words, and to daven for them. For them meaning for the entire world. And I mentioned that in terms of a person fulfilling their responsibility in lirois ulaayin b'chol eis b'tikun ho'ilam ulamalois chisoran ho'ilam, to be looking constantly, analyzing and understanding what's lacking in the world and doing what's necessary to repair it, in order for a person to be zeichet to that, a person has to be mispalel for the world. If a person davens the right way for the world, Hashem will open that person's eyes and give them the ability to understand and realize what's lacking and exactly what to daven for and what to do to be able to improve it and correct it further. And Rabbi Nazar made a statement that regarding tefillah, there are two different formats. There's one format of tefillah prior to any judgment by Hashem, and after Hashem has issued a judgment, a gzar din, the format of the tefillah has to change. The tefillah has to be disguised. And this is something that's discussed in different places in the Torah. We're not going to go into this at length right now. It's not the focus of our topic. That once Hashem has issued a gzar din, and there's a midas hadim, there's a judgment of Hashem that's prevalent, and things have been put into motion to carry out Hashem's judgment, just as lahavdil, when there's a war going on, and soldiers have been sent from the other side to attack, there's action, a person who's on the opposing side can't necessarily operate in an open manner. But rather you have the concept of paratroopers, people have to go behind enemy lines, and spies, etc., who generally, they're the most important ones in effecting a victory, a success. Here also, Baruchnius, when there's a gzar din, when there's a midas hadin, a person has to be able, lahalbish hatfila, kedei shelo yavinu hamalochim hoimdem lesmoil velo yekatrigo, to be able to disguise and hide their tefillah in a way that those angels who are kaviyachol on the left side of Hashem, this is the terminology that's used in the Gemara, in the Medrash, those angels that represent midas hadin shouldn't be able to realize what's being sent their way and block it and harm it in any way, but rather to have the tefillah get through and accomplish what it's supposed to. And Rabbi Nazal, Rabbi Nachman mentions that in order for a person to have this knowledge, to be able to tell where Hashem is at, exactly where Hashem is at, is Hashem before Gzar Din or after Gzar Din, a person has to be extremely close to Hashem. That extreme closeness to Hashem he defines as a person who does a mitzvah with such faith in Hashem that the person enjoys the mitzvah totally to the extent that they don't need any reward for it. They don't need any payment for it. Their reward is in the mitzvah itself. The Gemara mentions such a term, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. There is such a concept that the Gemara mentions, that a person could rise to a level of faith in Hashem, where a person respect, if someone respects, lahavdil, a human being, if a person, you get a child who's really, really super close to a parent, they love that parent and respect that parent and appreciate that parent 100%, for that child, if they ever find out, if they're ever offered an opportunity to do something for that parent, for somebody to try to challenge that by offering the person an opportunity to make 10 grand, an opportunity, any kind of physical luxury, to trade it in for the opportunity to serve that parent, they'd laugh at it. To them, it would be an absurd joke. Because of the great respect and love and appreciation that they feel towards that parent. Lahavdil, if we're talking about Hashem himself, if someone really believes that Hashem is the ultimate of the ultimate, the creator of everything, the ultimate in goodness and in greatness and in perfection, and if the person recognizes how low they are, how much of a nothing I am in comparison to Hashem, where I come from, that I come from a tiny droplet, I come from nothing, and that I am being given, offered the opportunity, the privilege, to do something for Hashem, to give something to Hashem, a person who looks at it that way really purely, for that person the term reward is something ridiculous. That reward for doing what I would enjoy most, what I would appreciate and love more than anything else in the world? Rabbi Nizal says a person who does a mitzvah that way bonds with Hashem so closely. That person becomes one with Hashem. And we went into this last week, that the word mitzvah in code is actually Hashem. The Mem and Tzadik in the secret code of Atbash that's used throughout the Torah becomes Yud-Heh. So that in effect a mitzvah, the letters Mem, Tzadik, Vav-Heh are exactly Yud-Heh. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So that a person doing a mitzvah this way becomes one with Hashem to such an extent that that person will be able to feel where Hashem is at, kavyachol, in simcha. Because we mentioned that that's what is Hashem? Hashem is wall-to-wall simcha. There's a pasuk, oiz v'hodar lafonov, hoid v'hodar lafonov, oiz v'chedva b'mkoyma, that in the place of Hashem, there is chedva, there is joy. The place of Hashem is pure simcha. The closer a person is to Hashem, the more one a person is with Hashem, the more that person feels that simcha, and they can detect any lacking in that simcha that would be a manifestation of the fact that Hashem has issued judgment. Hashem is in a state of din, judgment. This is what we spoke about in the previous year, and now to continue from there. We're told that when Hashem created the world, Hashem created the world with din, midas hadin. The first three words in the Torah, Bereshis Bara Elokim. In the beginning, Hashem created, and the name of Hashem that's used is Elokim, which Rashi throughout the Chumash quotes the Gemara many times as saying that that's the name of Hashem that represents Midas Hadin. Why? Why did Hashem start off that way? There's a simple, logical explanation. When Hashem first created the world, there wasn't any justification. The world was not deserving in any way, didn't merit in any way, Hashem's act of going ahead and creating it. But rather, kaviyochol, Hashem's act of creating the world was in a sense extending credit. Lahavdil, a person starting up a business, they have nothing to really prove conclusively to the bank that this business is going to succeed or won't succeed. The bank does certain research and based on certain excuses and certain built-in protections, They'll make a decision whether they're going to get going to go ahead and extend this person a credit line, extend this person $100,000, $1 million, whatever it is, for the person to get started, with the hope and understanding and belief that in extending this credit over a certain period of time, this person is going to do certain things that are going to justify their having been extended that credit, and they're going to pay it back with interest, where the bank is not only going to get back what they extended, they're going to get back even more than what they gave. Kaviyochel, Hashem, when Hashem went ahead with the creation of the world, the Pasuk says, Olam Chesed Yibone. The world was built, was created on a foundation of Chesed. It was an act of kindness on the part of Hashem. Hashem didn't owe anyone anything. No one did anything yet at that point to deserve, to merit Hashem extending himself in this way. This concept of being on the receiving end, having to borrow, having to, is a concept of emidas hadin. The Gemara makes a statement, man de'ochil de'lav delay bohis listakule biape. A person who's eating something that doesn't belong to them, something that they didn't earn, they didn't work for it, it's not really, they're not worthy of having it, but rather it's been given to them for free, a gift, that person is embarrassed to look into the face of the one who's giving to them. When a person feels like they're on the take, they're just receiving, they're not giving, they're not justifying their receiving, the person feels an embarrassment and a shame. A person might ask, what are you talking about? I know a lot of people that aren't embarrassed at all to take. They'll take anything, they'll take your shirt, the shirt off your back, and plus, plus, plus. The answer is, that's not normal. That's not normal, and that's not justified. The Gemara makes a statement, Be'ikvasa de Mashiach, chutzpa yazgi, that as we get close to the coming of Mashiach, there's going to be a brazenness in the world, a chutzpah. It's true that a person who is a mechutzef, a person who is brazen, who has audacity, such a person could do that and try not to feel any remorse and try not to feel any shame or embarrassment, but rather they're just looking to take and take and... But that's not normal. That's not normal. That's not the norm that the Torah defines, and that's obviously not right. If we're talking about a person who's living a decent, respectable type of life, such a person, if that person feels that it's not coming to them in any way, they didn't do anything to deserve something, and they're getting it, there's at least a tinge of embarrassment, and very often it's more than that. There are many people who would refuse completely to take it. There are people who, if they were offered money that they felt they didn't earn, they turn it down, whether it's $100 or $100,000. Not interested, because they know that there's a different feeling completely in having things that you feel justifiably belong to you, you deserve to own it, versus having things that I don't deserve to own it at all. Hashem went ahead and started on that basis, knowing, confident, that there would be tzaddikim who would go ahead and do mitzvahs, do good deeds, and do all kinds of activities that would justify completely Hashem's creation, everything Hashem did, plus, plus. Kaviyoch, Hashem would get his investment back with interest. This is why Rav Nosson Zal explains throughout the Shulchan Aruch, very often when it speaks about mitzvahs, that the Torah will use a terminology, lo yotza yedei chovoso. The person didn't fulfill, didn't pay his debt. He didn't fulfill his obligation unless he does such and such. What obligation are we talking about? What do you mean obligation? I don't remember signing anything obligating me to do this. What gives the Torah the right to use this kind of word? Chayva. When did I obligate myself? The answer is when Hashem created the world, as we said. There was this credit extended. Hashem went ahead and did all of these things, which were an aspect of this concept of lending. Hashem lent everything out with the hope and belief and faith that there would be tzaddikim who would give back. And it's for this reason that Rav Nosson Zalman explains there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Loive Rosho Velo Yishalem V'tzadik Chinein V'noisein. A Rosho is one who borrows and doesn't pay back, whereas a tzaddik is one who is gracious and giving. Person would say, that's the definition of a Rosho? Every Rosho, I know Rishon, people who are Rishon would do certain terrible things, and yet when they borrow money, they do pay back. So why does the Torah choose this item to use this as the label, the description of a Rosho? Loive v'loy mishalim? The answer is, because on a level of the big picture, in terms of how Hashem created the world to begin with, what Hashem's intent was, and how this person is living their life, they're in the category, by a person being a Rosho, by a person not doing mitzvahs, or doing averos, that person is in this category where they've borrowed, they've received, and they're not returning. They're not returning what's expected from them. Whereas the tzaddik, on the other hand, is chaynein v'noisein. He's giving more than what's expected from him, more than the norm. Because we know that this isn't the norm. This isn't a level that every person can get to, as to such a level of love and respect and faith in Hashem, where the person is going ahead and doing mitzvahs, doing things that don't come easy necessarily. Things that require struggle and effort and dedication, and the person's doing it without any desire whatsoever. We know that the things that come most natural to people in this world are, in terms of why people do things, why people are living, the majority of people are living to make money or to make a name for themselves, for self-respect, personal glory, self-glorification. Those are the standard reasons. And the best, those religious people, people who are religious, believe in Hashem, study Torah faithful, they will get to a level where they're saying they're not living, their purpose in life is not money, and it's not personal kavod, but rather it's olam haba, to get to olam haba. I want to get there. We're talking here now about a level of a tzaddik who reaches such a closeness to Hashem where no interest in money, their goal is not money, their goal is not personal kavod, their goal is not olam haba. Their goal is the mitzvah itself. That's their goal, that's their tachlis. When they're doing a mitzvah, that's enough. That's perfectly enough. And all they want is just that. They're not looking for anything more. Anything for the mitzvah. Just the mitzvah itself. And Rav Nosson Zal uses the terminology that we know that the entire world, again, the pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim, Bereishis, because of Reishis, Hashem created everything. The word Reishis, the Gemara says, means the Torah. The word Reishis also means Klal Yisrael. There's a pasuk, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tvuasoi, that the Jews are called Hashem's Reishis, Hashem's Bechor, Hashem's firstborn. So the tachlis of the entire creation, all the world's everything, was for Klal Yisrael, for the Torah, and specifically to create a situation where a person can earn his keep. The Sforim explain, the Gemara mentions this, that originally, where the souls, the Jewish neshama, start off in Gan Eden, they're in a place where they're experiencing pleasure. But Hashem is not, Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael and Hashem's desire to give isn't satisfied by that. Hashem knows that to give a person Gan Eden as a freebie, that Gan Eden, the pleasure, can only be a maximum 90%, 95%. It could never compare to putting the person in a position where they have to work for it. They're given bechira, they're given free choice to choose good over bad, they're tested, and the person works to achieve it. That person that person, when they're given the reward, they can enjoy it completely. They don't have that shame and embarrassment of looking in the face of Hashem, knowing that they're getting a freebie. But here, Rav Nosson Zal takes it a step further. What if a person's reason for doing the mitzvah is for Olam Haba, for reward? Is that shlemus? Could that be defined as shlemus? And the answer is no. Because the Gemara says that Hashem says to a person, Mi hekdimani va'ashalem loy. Let someone come, Hashem says, let someone dare come and present me with a bill. You want to come to me and tell me that I owe you reward? I owe you Olam Haba because you put up mezuzahs? You went out and spent $1,000 to buy mezuzahs? That's a joke. You spent $1,000? Okay, so now you only owe me 99 because I gave you a house that's worth 100 grand. So I gave you 100 grand, you gave me 1,000. Now you're only minus 99,000. So Hashem says, if a person is still holding on a level where they're doing mitzvahs thinking that there's reward coming to them, that they're owed something, that person is off. That person isn't really, really close. That person hasn't achieved shlemus in closeness to Hashem. The shlemus in closeness to Hashem is where a person realizes they're not owed anything. Who gave me the money for the mezuzah? That was my money. Hashem gave me the house, and Hashem gave me the money for the mezuzahs, and Hashem gave me the desire to put all of it is from Hashem. So therefore, I don't have to feel as if I'm owed anything, but rather just to feel the ultimate joy, total joy, at being privileged to participate, privileged to do, even if I'm not giving for my own, whereby Hashem creates a situation where it's made to appear as if I'm working, as if I'm doing. Even the mitzvah itself that I'm doing, the Torah is showing clearly, it's not really I'm doing. Who gave me the money to buy the tefillin? All the different aspects of doing the mitzvah itself, that's also coming from Hashem. But Hashem designed the world and created the world in such a situation where, to a certain degree, it's made possible for a person to have to extend effort. The person has to have desire. The person has to overcome evil desires, you know, the wrong temptations, temptations to do the wrong things, not to do the right things, to misuse money, to apply money, right? All of these things. And in doing that, the person, for that, Hashem says, a person is given merit, deserves reward. But again, if the person is thinking that they're owed something, if they're still on a level that they're thinking that they're owed something, obviously that's not shlemus. That's not the ultimate shlemus. That's not the kind of person we're describing who can be so close to Hashem that that person feels Hashem's simcha, feels where Hashem is at, and is able to know exactly how to speak to Hashem, how to daven to Hashem, in a way that they can correct anything that needs, fill any chisaron in the world, in themselves, in anything. We know that when a Jew comes into the world, a male child, when he's 8 days old, we perform a bris milah. And the bris has two major operations in it. There's the chituch, there's the removal of the orla, and the next step is the priya, where the skin is turned over in order to reveal the atorah, the real shlemus of the bris. The Gemara says that an apikoros once challenged one of the rabbis and said, you people call yourself people of the faith, you believe? On the contrary, you're the ones who show the greatest disrespect to the Creator. Because the fact that you go ahead and take that which the Creator made, and you're going in to fix it, you're going in to do something to change it, you're implying that what the Creator did was no good or was incomplete. And you're going to go in there and make it better. You're going to fix it. The Gemara says that this rabbi came back and said, of course. Isn't that how the entire world has been designed? Does bread grow on trees or in the fields? No. Wheat was created, and we go through, even wheat, seeds, we plant, we go through so many different processes to make something, and then more, till we get to the kernel of wheat. And then how many processes we have to go through to... So therefore, the understanding is that Hashem intentionally created the world incomplete and has given us the privilege, has given man the privilege through performing mitzvahs, by performing a mitzvah and performing the mitzvah the right way, to bring about a shleimus hachisorin, to be mashlim the world. The child, when a child is first created by Hashem with an orla, the Torah tells us, that child does not possess the tzelem of an Adam. It doesn't, to our physical eyes, looks like a human child. On a spiritual level, that child is not yet a human being until the orla is removed. That's step one. That's the first phase of bringing a shleimus. That's a mitzvah. That's phase one of the mitzvah. We know that the Arab nations, Yishmael, had a bris, had a chituch, but no priya. The difference between the Jews and Lahavdil, the Arabs, in this item is they believe in a circumcision, but they only believe in the first part. They don't do the second part. Rav Nosson Zal explains, the Gemara says that the mitzvah of milah is a mitzvah that was accepted with simcha. It was first received with simcha, and it remained with Klal Yisrael throughout the generations with simcha. The first step, the chituch, the removal of the orla, the removal of the ra, is a person showing an awareness, a realization that there is this concept of ra, that Hashem created the world in such a way that there is a bechira, there is a free choice, and by man making a choice to throw away, to cut away and remove bad and take the good, that person is, that's the whole concept of doing mitzvah, accepting the mitzvah and rejecting the avera. That's step one of entering into this simcha, the chituch. But at that point, we're talking about a person who could still be on a level where they're looking for reward. They're not doing the mitzvah yet necessarily with a complete shleimus. A Jew has a part two to the mitzvah, which is called the priya. That second step, the Sifrei Kabbalah explain that there are different aspects of tumah that are shorah, that rest on a person when the person is first born. Just like when a fruit grows on a tree, an orange, another fruit, we know there's a peel, there's a husk, a klipa, that has to be removed in order to get to the actual fruit itself. So too, by a human being, there is a tumah, a klipa, that's on that person, that has to be removed, that's removed through this act of chituch, this removal of the orla, the ra. But Rav Nosson Zal says there's a second step, which is this priya, which is entering into this new level of a person who's really, the word lefroa means to pay. Going back to this concept of a person who's doing mitzvahs on a level where they're paying back their debt completely. They're paying back Hashem. They're doing it with a shleimus hasimcha, where they're showing they don't want, they're not looking for any reward whatsoever for the mitzvah. The reward is in the mitzvah itself. The payback is right there itself in the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is called priya. Priya means payback. This is the concept of a person reaching a level of simcha and doing a mitzvah where their payback is built into the mitzvah itself. They don't need anything outside for that. When we talk about person living in this world, surrounded by all kinds of difficulties, physical difficulties, and dealing with the financial aspects of life and family, all the different things around the person that would give a person worries and turbulence and difficulty. We mentioned that there's a pasuk that says, Edag mechatosi. I worry from my sin, Dovra Melech says. Out of all the different things in life that cause worry to a person, worry, sadness, lack of happiness, the Torah says that the root of it is chatosi. The root of it is sin. To the degree that a person allows themselves to fall into a sin, to that degree, that person allows themselves to slide in the direction of worry, sadness, depression. To the degree that a person pushes themselves towards mitzvah, the definition mitzvah automatically means simcha. There's a pasuk that says, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Mesamchei Lev. The mitzvahs of Hashem are Mesamchei Lev. They bring joy to a person's heart. It's naturally built into the mitzvah. Now, the joy can be on one of two levels, as we said. The joy can be in a faith that by doing this, there's going to be a reward for me in the future. We said that that's a certain level of faith in Hashem. That could be a certain level of tzaddik. We compare that to the other prophets, the regular prophets, who saw Hashem, but kavyochel not clearly. Whenever they said nevuah, their nevuah was koi omar Hashem. This is approximately what Hashem said. Versus the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, where we said Moshe Rabbeinu said zeh hadovor asher tziva Hashem. He saw Hashem up close. Kavyochel. He had this level of closeness to Hashem where he was able to do the mitzvah. Not because of something in the future, something in the distance, because he was looking at something that was distant from him. For him, his reward was right in front of him. Hashem was right in front of him. His simcha wasn't something in the future, which means his kesher to Hashem wasn't something in the future, that he's hoping in Olam Haba, his neshama will get to a level where it'll plug into Hashem. On the contrary, a person who reaches, who attains this level of schar mitzvah mitzvah, that person has the simcha right there. That person has the greatest degree of closeness to Hashem. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, for us, it's one of two choices. Not one of two choices. There are two ways a person would say, well, I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, so how does this relate to me? The answer is, as we mentioned in the past, every single thing in the Torah that's written about Moshe Rabbeinu, or that's written about Tzaddikim, applies to each and every single Jew on their level. The Pasuk says, Va'amech kulam tzaddikim. The entire Klal Yisrael are called tzaddikim. Every single Jew that has a bris milah is in the category of tzaddik. On their level. Each person needs to know that on my level, I have to try every single day to wake up and to improve, to increase, to awaken an emunah inside of me, a faith in Hashem, and to develop a faith in Hashem, a faith in the Torah, a faith in tzaddikim, where I will be able to enjoy the mitzvah. I'll enjoy it. The first level is enjoy the mitzvah because I believe, even if I'm not on a level where while I'm doing the mitzvah, it's extremely enjoyable to me. I believe that at some point in the future, there's going to be a reward for it that's going to be so enjoyable that's going to have made any lack of enjoyment or pleasure that I had while doing it be worthwhile 1,000,000,000%. That's the first level. And the second level for a person to aspire for and to daven for and to strive for is to get to a level where my faith is so strong. I believe so strongly in Hashem that Hashem isn't 70 years away from me. It's not that I'm waiting to meet up with Hashem in the grave, but rather Hashem is right in front of me now, today, this morning, when I'm putting on the talis, I'm pushing myself to believe strongly enough in how right this is and how good this is that I can bring myself to enjoy it more than another person enjoys their greatest entertaining pleasure. One person is horse riding, or whatever they consider amusing or entertaining or enjoyable. That's one level of this. And the second level that Rav Nosson Zal mentions here, which is mentioned in Likutei Moran in several places, is the concept of attaching ourselves to tzaddikim. That when a person does a mitzvah, when a person is doing any mitzvah in the Torah, to have in mind, I'm doing this mitzvah because Hashem said so. Mipnei shehatorah amro, we say in the Ktoris, v'lo mo'ein ma'orav in bodvash, we know that the formula that was used to prepare the Torah, the spice offering, the 11 spices, the Gemara says that if they would add honey to it, the smell would be unbelievable. It would be incredibly hundreds of times better than without honey. So the Gemara says, "Veloma eimo arvan v'dvash." Why don't they mix honey into it? Mipnei shehatoyra omra, because Hashem said so. Because Hashem said not to. That's why. So when a person is doing a mitzvah, there's a certain kavanah that the reason I'm doing this is because Hashem said so. I believe that I'm fulfilling the will, the ratzon of Hashem. Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson Zalei to it, that if a person wants to connect, if a person realizes that there are different levels of doing a mitzvah, and if I do the mitzvah by myself, between me and Hashem, I might not be on the level to do the mitzvah with simcha, the way I'm supposed to. And therefore, if I have in mind at the time I'm doing a mitzvah, that I'm doing it with hiskashrus to the tzaddik, I'm doing this mitzvah binding myself to Moshe Rabbeinu, binding myself to all the tzaddikim. Just as when a person, we know that one of the most outstanding mitzvahs in a person's life, when a person gets married, under the chuppah, the chassan says, Harei at mikudeshesli, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, that I'm hereby betrothing my wife to me according to the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael. Why doesn't the person say Kedas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kedat Hashem, Kedas HaTorah. Why are we eating Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael? And this is a kavanah that doesn't apply just to that mitzvah. It applies to every single mitzvah in a person's life. If a person realizes that it's only the greatest tzaddikim that are zeicha to do a mitzvah with this kind of emuna, with this kind of simcha b'shleimus, then if at the time that I do a mitzvah, I have in mind that I'm doing this with hiskashrus to the tzaddik, I'm doing this based on my faith in Hashem and faith in tzaddikim. Just as the Torah says, when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi, they bound themselves to Hashem and to Moshe Rabbeinu, that person can connect to the simcha of the tzaddik, the simcha of the tzaddik, the emunah of the tzaddik, and benefit to have his own mitzvah, the mitzvah that I'm performing, merge and blend into the mitzvahs that the tzaddik himself does, with that shleimus ha-simcha, and thereby be able to have this right kind of tefillah, which leads to a rectification of the whole world, etc., etc. These are the two points for us to do. Before closing this topic, I just want to mention two more issues that are mentioned together with this. In that chapter in Likut Imran, where Rabbi Nachman speaks about this, Torah Hey, the fifth chapter in the first half of Likut Imran, he adds two points. Number one, regarding Simcha, that in order for a person to have Shleimus HaSimcha, a person has to be able to remove the rough edges in their heart. The center within the human body, the center for simcha is the heart. There's a pasuk, Nosata Simcha Balibi. Or is a rule that tzaddik will yishrei lev simcha. There are many psukim throughout the Torah that tell us that the center, the source for joy inside a person is the heart. Once the joy in the heart reaches a certain high, it reaches out, it extends out to different parts of the body. When a person gets up to dance at a wedding or at a simcha, the pasuk says, Liboy noso es raglov. His heart lifted up his feet. The person felt such a joy inside of him that it poured out through the veins and arteries and the nervous system into the legs and hands, and the person wants to clap and dance and sing. That's an expression that's supposed to be an expression of what's inside the heart. The Gemara says that there's a possibility of akmimius in the heart. There are people who have a crookedness in their heart. They have crookedness, they have rough edges, they have stones. There are people that have a heart of stone, levo evan. And the Gemara says that the way a person smooths out the heart is through thunder. The Gemara says, lo nivru ramim elo lefashet akmimius shebelev, that the reason why Hashem created thunder is to smooth out the roughness, the crookedness inside the heart. Rabbi Nachman shows in that chapter on Likutei Moran that a person's own thunder is their tefillah bekoyach. When a person davens, not half asleep, not completely asleep, not 1% asleep, but when a person davens with a feeling of being awake, and they're putting power into that tefillah, the power doesn't have to be something that people around them hear. The power could be power that's kept, that's internalized. The person's putting tremendous energy, mental concentration, and screaming inside of themselves, and nobody around them has to hear it. If they're in a place where there's nobody there, they can say it out loud literally. Or if they're davening in a shul and they're up to, they're not in the Shmon Esrei, they're not in a part where people have to be silent, then a person should be davening where their ears are listening to what's coming out of their mouth. And those words, Rabbi Nachman, I'm not going to go into the detail right now, the tefillah bekoyach is referred to as ramen. That's a form of thunder. Just as thunder, the Gemara describes how thunder strikes the clouds and causes water and affects the water dripping down from the clouds and rain, so too the Zohar Kodesh describes the process where a person, the clouds refer to the brain, and when a person davens with power, the words of tefillah strike those clouds and cause droplets to come forth, and that affects a smoothing out of this crookedness in the heart. That's one piece of, another piece of this puzzle. And a final piece is avoiding chimut samoyach, that to the degree that a person allows bad thoughts, impure thoughts, machshavos rois, or chochmos chitzonis, a person learns extraneous wisdoms, wisdoms that contradict the Torah, or wisdoms that go against faith in Hashem, those kind of things. Those kind of things also dull the mind and heart of the person from being able to feel that simcha, the kind of simcha that we're describing here, in being able to do a mitzvah in such a way where the person achieves the greatest degree of closeness and oneness with Hashem. It's by a person avoiding, number one, exercising the tefillah b'koyach to create that thunder, to smooth out any crookedness in the heart, so that the simcha in the heart can work the way it's supposed to, and avoiding chimut samoyach, avoiding these impure thoughts, or chachmas chitzanis in the heart. These are the things that allow this simcha to flow properly in the heart and in the mind of the person, and allow the person to do mitzvahs with that kind of joy and experience the ultimate, this is the ultimate joy of life. As we said in the previous year, there are people who search for, who try and think that they can find happiness in other things, in physical items, or in all kinds of diversions. Hashem defines clearly in the Torah where the source of simcha is, where the source of joy is. And it's only if a person follows Hashem's advice and the advice of the tzaddikim in understanding that and applying it, that's a person who will experience the ultimate joy constantly. A person will be able to do it. This isn't something that's a once in a lifetime. A person could experience this throughout the day. It's not something that a person, we know that Rabbi Nizal says many times, the concept of ups and downs, and highs and lows. A person isn't the life in spirituality, in Torah and mitzvahs, is not something that goes steady. It goes up and down. There's erev, there's night and day, there's light and darkness, there's aliyas and yeridos. But if a person knows that this is the goal, they can work towards it and hope to achieve this level of simcha. Questions?
Yeah, two questions. The first one is, when we spoke in the beginning of this year about, previous year, about how a person in the mitzvah, he can tell where Hashem is at based on the simcha of the mitzvah.
Exactly.
Is that a simcha that is coming from his generation of simcha, or is he generating the simcha, or is this something just from being in the mitzvah, he just gets so happy?
We said that the mitzvah is Hashem.
Right.
A mitzvah, when a person enters into a mitzvah, when a person is holding a lulav and esrog, they're holding Hashem in their hands. When a person enters into a sukkah, they're going into Hashem. How do we define Hashem? Hashem is defined as simcha. Oiz v'chedva b'mkoymo. The place of Hashem is simcha. When a person has extraneous motives, because the point here is that if a person is thinking of money, making money on a mitzvah, if a person is thinking of personal kavod for a mitzvah, these will detract, and then he isn't anymore with Hashem. He's with himself. He's wrapped up in himself. If a person is doing a mitzvah totally for Hashem, and we just defined what that means, totally for Hashem means that Hashem doesn't owe me anything for this. Again, I don't remember if we gave this example. One of the Hasidish Sfarim, the Bnei Yisachar, says a fantastic thing. So your side is today. Unbelievable. Shkocha. On Kiddush Levona. In Kiddush Levona, one of the statements we make describing Hashem is, we say, Poel Emes, Shepeulosoy Emes. Hashem is called Poel Emes, a true worker, Shepeulosoy Emes, whose work is honest and truthful. The Bnei Yisachar asks, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? And he says, I'll tell you exactly what it means. A person comes knocking on my door, and he says, I'm the plumber. You call the plumber. I'm here to fix your broken sink. I look at him, and I smile inside, and I know that's not what he's here for. He's not here for my sink. He's here for 100 shekel or $100. That's what he's here for. He's here because he made plans to take his wife out to dinner, and he knows it's going to cost $100, and he's here to pick up that $100 bill. Proof is, if I tell him, you know what, we decided against it, but since you came, here's $100, have a nice night. Many people, we said, will take it, leave happily, because that was his real motivation. It's a rare individual who will say, are you kidding? I'm not going to take something for nothing. I really came with 100% sincerity just to fix your pipe. I wasn't planning on getting paid at all. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in the payment whatsoever. Because of the fact that human beings have needs, human beings need money, human beings need kavod, they need respect, that's what motivates 99.9% of what goes on in the world. The only one who needs nothing is Hashem. Hashem doesn't, about Hashem we can say poel emes, shepu'ulos emes. When Hashem does something, it's 100% true. It's not with any ulterior motive, because by Hashem it's not shy at the concept of ulterior motive. He doesn't need anything from us. So that's the point. That's what Hashem is. Hashem is the ultimate in emes, and to the degree that a person in doing a mitzvah is doing it with complete faith that this is it, this is the tachlis, this is Hashem, this is simcha, this is the ultimate in simcha, to that degree the person gets to that. Secondly,
the other question is, you said in the beginning also the person has to think the world is created for me, and he has to figure out what sort of tikkun you can do to the world.
Exactly.
But Rabbi Nachman speaks a lot about being like emistic and being real with oneself, but it seems like for me, realistically, to think about making tikkun for the whole world, it seems very not real in my world. It's like just, it doesn't seem like very real to think like I'm going to make the world tikkun. So how does
That's one of the mistakes that Rabbi Nachman corrects. One of the reasons why many, many people aren't exercising 99% of their potential is because their Yetzirah has them convinced that they're not that important in the big picture, that they're not in a position to rectify the world, etc., etc. That's a misconception. The Gemara says, before we come to Rabbi Nachman, the Gemara says that every single Jew, at every moment in his life, is supposed to picture a set of scales in front of him. The whole world is on trial, and the scales are perfectly balanced. Hashem has come to the conclusion that the good and bad in the world is exactly equal. And the next move I make, little old me, the next move I make is going to decide the destiny of the entire world. If I do a mitzvah, I'm going to tip the scales not just for myself, but for all of Klal Yisrael, for all of mankind, to the side of good. And if Chas Hashem, the other way, the other way. What Rabbi Nachman is saying is very, very real. He's not exaggerating. Every single Jew is called Ben Melech. He's a prince. He's a member of the royal royal party, the royal court. And every move he makes is unbelievably significant. And he is definitely involved in Tikkun Olam. Especially, Rabbi Nachman once made a statement that when a Jew twirls his peah, there are worlds that move based on that. That's not a mitzvah. He wasn't even talking about a mitzvah. He wanted to express to what degree every move a Jew makes affects entire worlds. When a Jew does a mitzvah, any Jew, every single Jew, you and me, when we do a mitzvah, we're participating in bringing a tikkun to all of Klal Yisrael, a tikkun to the world, a tikkun to Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. That's what we mentioned in the last year, that the world is based on place and time and levels of creation, and the highest level of within all of the entire Bria, the Shleimus HaBria is man. Hashem created inanimate objects, plants, animals, and human beings. The human being is the highest, highest level being within creation. And within human beings, there's this distinction of Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Ha'amim, the Jews who have been chosen from among all the different nations. And then within the Jews, those Jews who choose to believe in Hashem. You're talking about the ultimate of the ultimate, the highest of the highest of the high, is the Jew. And then, within time and place, a Jew who observes the times, Shabbos versus the 6 days of the week, a fast day, a holiday, all the different variances in time and in place. A Jew who recognizes the distinction between the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael versus Lahavdil Chutz L'Eretz, a cemetery versus a shul, have all the different. That person is involved in, every single Jew is involved in Tikkun Olam. This is one of the places in Likutei Moran where Rabbi Nachman shows this to us, and he's speaking to every single one of us.
How can a person honestly gauge himself when doing this, but if it's b'shleimo, or he actually has no desire for a person to gauge? Because it's hard to know.
It's true that it is very hard, and the Yetzirah, one of the main efforts of the Yetzirah is to fool a person into thinking they're something that they're not, or they're somebody that they're not. And this is part of a person's advancement in Yiddishkeit, trying to achieve higher and higher levels of truthfulness, of being honest with people around me, and especially being honest with myself. And I believe we mentioned this in the past, that this is one of the main reasons why a person goes to a tzaddik. The tzaddik has the ability to give a person the eyes to see themselves correctly. We mentioned the Gemara makes a statement by several places, Nosan Boyenov and Asegal Shalatsomis, that a tzaddik. The wording of the Gemara is not that the tzaddik looked at a person, nosan boyenov, he placed his eyes into that person. V'nasegal shelatzamayis, and then it becomes revealed to the person that which was originally hidden from them. Which means we know that what's hidden for most people is viewing their own chesroinus, seeing their own shortcomings, their own lackings, etc. For a person to have the ability to see themselves honestly, and judge themselves accurately, that's one of the main reasons why a person comes to the tzaddik.